This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Stephen Kramer. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of the service will be given at the close of the program.
Welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio broadcast. Our speaker today is the Reverend Stephen Kramer, who is a senior pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. We're happy to have Pastor Kramer with us as he brings us a great message on walking with Jesus and seeing the thrill, though sometimes it is often frightening. We open then our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for this Sunday, a day when we can listen to your word and where we can be challenged to walk on the water as you follow us and guide us and direct us and then lead us into some of the most exciting things that our lives will ever experience. Sometimes, O God, it is frightening to live in this old world. But when we know that you have us by the hand, guiding us safely on the journey to our heavenly home, we have confidence that all is well. Bless this service, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Our reading for today is from the 14th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here ends our reading for today. Dear friends in Christ, I have a friend who is in the trades. He's an electrician. And I asked him recently, what does it take to become a licensed electrician these days? He said, before you actually get to get a license, you go through a period of time working as an apprentice. They put you into some classroom time and as well as out in the field, hands-on training with a journeyman electrician. This goes on for 3, 4, 5 years, and then you're allowed to take a test to then become a licensed practicing electrician. I thought to myself as he described this is really not so different, I suppose, from those of us who have chosen to go into pastoral ministry. We enter into the seminary after being accepted and spend some time in the classroom. Along the way, they try to put you into some congregations to do a little work and get hands-on experience. And then your third year, they send you out into a parish to work for a full year under the tutelage of a practicing pastor, all in hopes of giving you good, helpful, hands-on experience as a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he called his disciples to be his apprentices, such as the time when he called Peter from the Sea of Galilee and invited him to drop his nets and follow him, told him, "If you will follow me, you will soon be catching people. That's my vision for you." And so Peter dropped his net, but Jesus didn't take him to a classroom, did he? No, Jesus took Peter on the road, as well as those other disciples. And there he gave them hands-on experience, teaching them along the way, training them, preparing them to reach other people for the kingdom of God. Today's classroom experience takes place out in the middle of a lake. Our story reads like a two-act play, and it's a real drama. Jesus has just finished feeding 5,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He has those disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him. He went up into the hills to pray. Suddenly, a storm came up, and it says that the disciples, according to the story, fought and battled with that storm for several hours. It was about dusk when they got into the boat. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning before they had that encounter with Jesus out in the middle of the sea. At about 3 o'clock, after I'm sure they're very tired out and wondering, have we been deserted and what's to become of us? Here we are being obedient and we're in the middle of a storm. Jesus showed up, but they didn't expect Jesus, and so they thought it was a ghost. The last place in the world they expected to run into Jesus was out in the middle of that storm in the lake. He showed up at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and they didn't recognize him because they didn't expect him. And from the midst of that storm, he called out to them, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Now, when Jesus says, "It is I," in this story, those words in the Greek are ego eimi, which mean literally, "I am." So the verse should actually read, "Take heart, I am. Don't be afraid." We see that identification, "I am," used by God himself when he told Moses, "Tell the people that are in slavery in Egypt that I am has sent you, Moses, to free them and bring them back to the promised land." That's a term for God. And so when Jesus says, "Take heart, I am," he's saying to them, you're in the presence of God himself, the one who created this sea. In the sea, this sea was simply a puddle in the palm of God's hands. And so when they look into the face of Jesus and listen to those words, they're seeing God in the middle of their storm. Now, Peter obviously picked up on this reality because he's the one who spoke up and said to Jesus, "Lord," which is another name for God, "if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And then Jesus commanded him, "Come." And Peter got out of that boat, and of all things, he actually began to walk on the water towards Jesus. But suddenly a great wind came up, and I suppose Peter got slapped across the face with one of those waves by the wind, and he became very frightened as he turned from his direction of Jesus and turned toward the giant waves coming his way. He became frightened, and he began to sink. And he didn't wait, though. He kept his wits about him enough as he's going down for the second or third time to cry out, "Lord, save me." And before he knew it, there were the strong hands pulling him up out of the water, and he was looking in the face of Jesus, who said to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" It was as if to say to Peter, "Peter, I want you to trust me." And then the Lord takes Peter back to the boat, And as they're getting into the boat, the winds ceased, and the other disciples got on their knees and worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you're the Son of God." What classroom lessons were learned out on the lake that day by Peter to prepare him to later on become an effective fisherman for the kingdom of God? Well, the first lesson he learned, I suppose, would be this, which is a good lesson for every one of us. It's kind of a good news, bad news lesson. The bad news first: expect storms in your life, even when you're doing things that are obedient to the calling of the Lord. Even when you're striving to be faithful, sometimes storms are going to come up. They are simply a part of life. They are inevitable, and we as Christians are not exempt from them. Sometimes people will say to me when I'm counseling with them and they're going through a hardship, "Is God trying to punish me?" And my response is no, absolutely not. You're experiencing a storm that's just a part of life. But the good news is, look who's coming towards you in that storm. He knows what's going on in your life. He's not unaware of the storm that you're facing. As he came to those disciples in an unexpected way, at an unexpected place, at an unexpected time, so also we can count on him as followers of Jesus to know that he will come to us in the middle of our storm. Max Lucado, who is a favorite author of mine, tells a story of a young woman who had died in his city. I guess he was at the funeral when the officiating priest shared a memory of this young woman in his eulogy. They had been friends for some time as she lived in New York City, and they kept in touch with each other over the email. Late one night, he shared with the congregation that he received a message indicative of God's presence in this woman's life. She had missed her station on the subway. By the time she realized her mistake, she didn't know what to do. She prayed for safety and some sign of God's presence. There was no hour or place for a young, attractive woman to be passing through a rough neighborhood alone. At that moment, the doors opened and a homeless, disheveled man came on board and plopped down next to her. "God, are you near?" she prayed. The answer came in a song. The man pulled out a harmonica and played, "Be Thou My Vision." It was her mother's favorite hymn. The song was enough to convince her that Christ was there in the midst of it all. Sometimes we need to remember to look for him. Sometimes it comes in a kind word from a friend. We experience the face of presence of Christ. Sometimes it's a card in the mail that just happens to be very timely, or a phone call from someone, or just a strong sense in the middle of your prayer time that I am not alone, where you can almost sense the touch of God upon you. You're not alone as you face the bad news of a storm in your life. The good news is you have a Savior who comes to you. The second lesson that Peter and those guys learned, which is an important one for us too, I suppose, is a takeoff of an old adage that we've used in the past. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Let's try it this way. In a biblical manner, if you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. Peter sensed that Jesus wanted him out on that water with him to experience the adventure of water walking. And Peter got out of the boat and experienced an adventure like no other as he began to walk towards Jesus. As he walked in the obedience to that call upon him to come out and join Jesus, we see extreme discipleship being experienced by Peter. It's going to prepare him for years later when he's called into what looks like some fairly impossible stormy situations. Peter is told by Jesus, "Come," and he walked on the water. Every one of us, I suppose, at one time or another, has probably sensed Jesus calling us to get out of our boat instead of playing it safe and joining him out on the water, doing something for the kingdom of God. You know, when you think about it, if Jesus can take an ill-equipped, untrained person like Peter and do the great thing that he did with him that day, and eventually later on in his life, as Peter became such an effective leader in the Christian church, why is it that we have trouble believing that he can do something with us when he calls us into an adventure of some sort? I remember last year, my brother-in-law invited me out of the blue to come with him on a medical mission trip to Peru. At first, I was thinking I really didn't want to go. I don't know Spanish. I know nothing about medicine. I didn't really see what good I could possibly do on a trip like that. And I was a little nervous about being a burden to the party that was going down of doctors. And besides that, being a family man, I was concerned about, you know, what if something happened to me down there? What would become of my family? And so I kept putting it off, but things kept coming in my direction, and just kind of like Jesus was waving me out to join him. So one day I just cast my caution to the wind. And after prayerfully thinking about this, I decided it's time to get out of the boat. So I called up my brother-in-law and said, I'm going with you. I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I have never had such an exhilarating, life-changing discipleship experience as I had in that 2 weeks spent with people in Peru, sharing the gospel through translators and being used by God to serve people and lead them to Jesus Christ. I'm still learning, as everyone is, that when Jesus calls us out of the boat, we can trust him, and he's got a great adventure in store for us. How about you? Maybe it's not going off to Peru, but perhaps it's someone that lives around your area, someone that works next to you, that has no relationship with Christ, who needs to experience Christ's love through you. Maybe, just maybe, if you that thought has crossed your mind, it could be Jesus calling you, saying, come on out. The water's just fine. Have I got an adventure for you? Please note, Peter got slapped in the face a little bit, didn't he? But he remembered who to call for in the midst of his sinking feeling that he got. He called out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And he found once again that the Lord is faithful. Those strong hands of Jesus were ready to pull him up out of the water and put him back into the boat again for another day to be called out to walk with Jesus. Please note, those strong hands that are waiting to grab you have nail holes in them. For that Savior loves you, and he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross for your sins. He's the leader, you see, that you truly can trust. He went all the way to the cross for you. Amen.
Jesus calls us for the tumult of our lives while restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may
will you pray with me? Father, we thank you once again that you have fed us with your word. We know that you're anxious to have us get out of the boat, even though the waves may be high, but you have us by the hand. And help us to understand that it is a nailed pierced hand. It is a hand that has suffered and died that we might be yours forever. Lord, we pray for each one who has heard this message today, some of them riding down the highways in their cars, some of them at home, sick and shut in, some of them indifferent to the Word of God, and some of them anxious to be fed. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that all may be according to your will. Today we also pray for our country. God, we ask that you will give guidance and direction to our president and all of those who have been placed in authority over us. Grant that they may have bended knees and hearts that are pouring out to you for guidance and direction. And then, Lord, give us attentive ears that we may do your will. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Our special guest speaker today was the Reverend Stephen Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. We are grateful for his presence today and pray you have been blessed through the message and the music. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will donations of our listening family. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift as part of your estate planning. For information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, call us toll-free at 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders now broadcasts over 16 radio stations in 9 states, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. We are grateful you chose to worship with us today and pray you will worship with us next Sunday on this station. Christian Crusaders is now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.